south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, here's some Latin American news that took me by surprise. Remember, maybe 3 months ago, I was talking about how Citibank came down here in a huge way. It opened up offices everywhere. In fact, I believe in Central America, more than 500 Citibank branches have opened since the 2008-2009 bailouts. And I also mentioned that Citibank has become hugely popular with the locals since it is a bank from Gringoland. And Latins think anything coming from the first world is better than what they have down here, especially banks. They feel any bank up in the U.S. is as solid as the Rock of Gibraltar and as good as gold. Talk about delusional, huh? And remember, I mentioned in a past show that not one Latin in 1,000 even knows there was a banking crisis at all up in the first world back in 2008. And I don't care if you're quizzing Latins on a college campus down here, only 1 in 1,000 would know that. In fact, I don't think 1 in 100,000 Latin Americans realize Citibank itself was such a failed, corrupt institution that it wouldn't have survived at all if the U.S. government wouldn't have given it the biggest taxpayer bailout in human history. And here's the thing. I know a Latin guy who doesn't speak a lick of English who's middle management at one of the big Citibanks down here. And guess what? Since he's been hired, he walks around like his feces has no odor. And, you know, I see him around enough busting his buttons because he's a Citibank employee. I mean, come on, knowing what we know about Citibank, you can only take so much of that crap, right? So one day at a party, while he was busting his buttons, I busted his balls and started telling him the history of Citibank up in the States. The true history, because, you know, they never tell you that at the Citibank orientation down here. Nope. Why dig out the dirty laundry, huh? From what I understand, they only tell you how lucky you are to be working for such a fine, exemplary first world organization like Citibank. Such BS, huh? And you know, when I set this guy down and told him all that, he looked at me as if I'd just insulted the Pope. To him, I not only insulted the bank, I insulted him personally, too. I mean, after all, ever since this guy got the job about 1.5 years ago, he's been the hero of the family, the only guy ever connected to anything first world. So I suppose I did put a big dent in his ego, but that's life. Now, you might be thinking, Johnny, you're kind of a cruel bastard, aren't you? But really, what would you have done? Every time I'd see the guy, whether I'd run into him at a party or a restaurant or whatever, he'd proudly display his little enamel Citibank lapel pin. Whoopee. Like that old Saturday Night Live saying, gag me with a spoon. So I think you'd agree his bubble was ripe for bursting. Anyway, before I tell you about that Citibank news now that really took me by surprise, let me read you a short paragraph to remind you how screwed up Citibank really is and was. This comes from the December 15 Gold and Silver Daily report. It starts out, quote, Citigroup / Citibank is the Wall Street megabank that forced the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act in 1999. And once that Glass-Steagall Act went away, Citibank blew itself up as a result in 2008. Then it was propped back up with the largest taxpayer bailout in the history of the world, even though it was insolvent and didn't even qualify for the bailout. Now it's reared its ugly head again. Citibank has written its own legislation to actually deregulate itself. It got the President of the United States to lobby for its passage. And the legislation received a thumbs up from both houses of Congress in less than a week. Okay, so what does that mean and why should we care? Well, the banksters up north like Citibank might have Congress and the President and the Federal Reserve in their pocket, making sure whatever stunts they pull, illegal or not, they just can't fail. The fact is, south of the border, where in the last few years they've opened up many, many hundreds, if not thousands of branches, that's, by the way, where a huge percentage of your taxpayer bailout money went. Not for jobs or loans up in the States, but for them to expand to the third world. I mean, really, you can't make this stuff up. How else do you think they were able to come down here to Latin America and buy up all that property and all those tiny little banks that they converted to Citibanks? Anyway, what started out for Citibank is an unbelievable boon. Because, like I said, the minute they came down, Latins by the millions abandoned their traditional Latin American banks, which are iffy institutions at best, and they piled into Citibank, whom they considered first world, and therefore solid as the Rock of Gibraltar and beyond reproach. But the bad news is, for Citibank anyway, they didn't count on the fact that the Latins they put into their Citibank management positions down here are even more corrupt than the banksters in management positions up north. And now, you might think what goes around comes around and that paybacks are hell and karma really exists when I read you this. The title of this next article, which I'll translate, is called Citibank Exits 11 Latin American Markets. It's a long article, so I'll paraphrase again. It starts out by saying, Citigroup customers across Central America will be looking for a new place to bank next year. Citigroup/Citibank said Tuesday that it will bow out of the retail banking business in 11 Latin American markets in an ongoing effort to restructure and slim down. The news came as Citibank announced its third quarter earnings, which were positive up in the first world and negative in Latin America. A Citibank spokesperson said the scaling down would primarily be in the Latin American countries of Mexico, Costa Rica, Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Panama, and Peru. Citibank says it'll be exiting personal banking services in those countries, but continue with a limited amount of corporate banking. These announcements come after Citibank revealed that they discovered $15 million in fraud following an investigation into their Mexican Banamex unit. That followed by a massive fraud discovery earlier in the year when its Banamex division had lost over $400 million as a result of fraud related to a Mexican oil services company known as Oceanografía. So, in effect, Citibank is finding out the hard way that once they set up bank branches down here in Latin America and hire local Latin American Spanish-speaking management teams, once they're trained in operations and their first world trainers go home, well, little did they know that the fox was in charge of the henhouse. So, Citibank has discovered the hard way what so many first world franchises, etc., had discovered years ago when they first came down, that you can almost never walk away completely and leave the operation in the hands of Latin American so-called professionals. And they did that in a big rush, willy-nilly, in every Latin country they came into. Now, in hindsight, it looks to everyone as if the Citibank people just came down here and started buying and setting up these things, never looking at the history of Latin American banking or the Latin American culture of bribes and payoffs and, well, larceny. It's like this. Local Latin American banks come and go all the time. And when they go, it's because the banking insiders and management, usually the board of directors, soon enough end up playing with the books and looting the place. And eventually, word gets out, there's a run on the bank. And by then, the board of directors have usually flown the coop and are living like kings and queens in an adjacent Latin country. It's a very, very common scenario, and these guys rarely get punished. In fact, many times they're welcomed into these adjacent Latin countries because they got so much dough now that they buy their way in. And of course, Latin presidents and politicians are notorious for doing the same thing too. In fact, right now there's any number of former Latin presidents under indictment in their own countries living the life of Riley in another Latin country who would never think of extraditing them because they're spreading around way too much cash. Down here, looting on a grand scale is a way of life, and Citibank didn't figure on the fact they could do it in a big way up in the first world, but when they came down here, someone else, their own insiders, would stick it up their ass. Now, that's not to say it happens all the time, but you really have to be careful. All the U.S. first world franchises and businesses that have come down here to Latin America and are making it have learned they can never really leave their operations in the hands of the locals. They have to keep a close eye on it. Now, in Citibank's case, they had billions in bailout money, so they just dove right in Latin America head first, whereas they should have started with baby steps like so many other successful franchise companies do. In fact, I remember the very first Ace Hardware in Central America was in San Jose, Costa Rica, back in the 1980s. Now, that store was in existence for about 10 years before they ever opened up another one in Latin America, and now they've been very successful and have franchised out all over the place down here. However, that very first Ace Hardware nearly went bankrupt in the first couple of years, and Ace almost threw in the towel. Left in the hands of local Latin managers, the place just fell apart. It didn't take long for it to turn into a dirty, scruffy Ace Hardware that would never have passed muster up in the States. The franchise managers up in the first world couldn't really get it off the ground until they were able to figure out the Latin American mindset and how to deal with Latin Americans in middle management positions. The same thing happened with Sears and Office Depot and Costco. They came down in a very small way and nearly crashed and burned too in the first couple of years until they figured out how to, you could say, manage the managers. So anyway, the word on the street down here in Latin America is that Citibank is not telling the half of it. They're reporting officially close to $500 million in fraud in their Mexican unit alone. But the word is there could be 10 times as much they're not talking about, because that would be the kiss of death for the stock price, but who knows? So what's my take on the shakeup that's happening with Citibank right now in Latin America? Well, couldn't happen to a more deserving bunch of asswipes. Okay, moving on now. I'd just like to lay a little Latin culture on you I'm sure you never heard before. This one was a new one on me, too. The other day I was speaking to a Latin American grade school teacher. And by the way, down here, you only need a 2-year degree to teach. How's that? Anyway, this lady does not speak English. And she's taught at some low-end cheap private schools, but mostly she's made a career out of teaching in the truly pathetic bottom-of-the-barrel Latin American public schools. You know, the ones with the broken windows and the leaky roofs and the bathrooms without water, etc., etc. Here's what she told me that made me laugh. I asked her about corporal punishment in the grade schools in Latin America, and she said, yes, it's always been understood that you could apply corporal punishment to a kid if you deem it necessary. I found out from her, parents surely won't complain because down here it's still an awful lot like it was 30 or 40 years ago in the States when teachers were kind of on a pedestal and got a lot of respect from parents and kids. So in that respect, the lag time effect down here is all in the Latin teacher's favor. And down here, she said, and she's been teaching about 30 years, she said, essentially, the teacher is always right. And if the kid's a bully or a disruptive influence in class or whatever, there's no bigger embarrassment to the family than to have the teacher or the principal call mom and dad in for a consult. And by the way, about respect for teachers up in the first world, I'm sure you'd agree that rarely exists anymore. Up there, it's the spoiled brat kid that's always right. And it's the teacher that needs the counseling, right? Anyway, this longtime Latin American public school teacher told me, she's well aware that in those expensive private schools that pay teachers a lot more, and require English, by the way, it's pretty much the reverse, and the kids and their parents sort of run the schools. And because those expensive private schools have adopted first world teaching formulas and directly copy all the latest greatest trends and fads in teaching up in the first world, which, by the way, is a big selling point to gringo wannabe parents, to have their kids go to a school like that that's patterned and copied directly from first world teaching methods, no matter how ridiculous or far out they might seem when transferred down to Latin America. To gringo wannabes and Latin social climbers, anything first world is always better. Which is why these so-called helicopter schools have a good percentage of gringo teachers there. And why these schools market themselves as so-called clones of the first world progressive education system. Yeah, right. That's working well up in the States, isn't it? Go ahead. I dare you. Just ask a high school kid in Cleveland to point out Latin America on a map. And I bet 2-1 he points to some place like Los Angeles. You know, L.A. Wait a minute. I guess he'd be half right then, wouldn't he? But we were talking about corporal punishment and discipline now, weren't we? Anyway, my teacher friend said, in all her years teaching in public schools, she never really had to haul off and hit anyone, even though you get the very poorest and the lowest classes of kids there. She says that, in her experience, the higher the socioeconomic class, the less respect kids and parents have for teachers. Again, that reminds me of what it was like 30 or 40 years ago back in the States. But she did say, on occasion, she uses a rather popular age-old method of disciplining kids when they deserve it, involving peer pressure and embarrassment. Now, if you remember, up in the first world, a long, long time ago, there was the practice of putting a kid in a corner and making him wear a dunce cap. Of course, if you did that up in the first world today, the teacher would be fired, sued, forced to go to psychological counseling, and probably end up on Oprah or doing a couple months in jail. Same difference, right? Well, down here in Latin America, it's still done, and no one blows a gasket over it. Though it is done in a slightly different way. Instead of the kid wearing a dunce hat, the bad boy, it's almost always a boy, by the way, has to don a pair of long, fake donkey or mule ears. That's mule, M-U-L-E. So then you might ask, what's that all about? What's that signify in Latin culture? Well, the longer you're down here, the more often you'll hear that word mula. And not that old gangster slang for money either, mula. I'm talking about mula, which is the Latin word for mule, as in stubborn as a jackass, or mula, same thing. So when you hear someone call another person a mula, that means stupid or dumb or idiot or moron, or all three. So now a kid's being punished by sitting in the corner and looking like a mula. Now, as far as bandying about that word mula yourself, you can say it as a kind of a joke to someone you know really well, a friend or a relative. But you don't call anyone a mula that you don't know very well, and especially not if you're an employer or the boss. You should never call one of your employees a mula. It's on par with calling someone an idiota, which is idiot, or tonto, which means stupid. Don't go throwing that around with anyone you don't know either. Oh, and for you real old-timers out there, the word tonto means stupid, and it's also the name of the Lone Ranger's trusty sidekick. And for you real trivia buffs, the name of the American Indian that played Tonto, or Stupid, was Jay Silverheels. I wonder how that worked out for him when his Latin gardener found out. And speaking about Latin American social and cultural differences, well, my buddy expat Eddie came down to Latin America about 5 years after I landed. And you know, when I first met him, I thought he was truly bilingual. Because, you know, I saw him sitting on a couch in the middle of a Latin party where no one spoke English. At least, none of the Latin American people there did. And later on, I was at the bar and I remember saying to Eddie, you know, I've been down here 5 years and my Spanish is still terrible. Then I asked him, I need you to help me out. You see that guy over there? Can you walk over there with me and translate something? And Eddie said, who, me? You want me to translate? I don't speak Spanish. And I said, wait a minute. Come on, you were over there with that group of people laughing away and having a great old time. I saw you. You were all speaking Spanish. Then Eddie laughed and said, so you fell for it too, huh? Then he said, I don't like to feel like a fool or an idiot down here. I've been through that. So in order to not appear totally inept, I learned a handful of easy responses. So when a Latin person talks to me or tries to get something out of me, I'll play along as I can, hoping to pick up a few tidbits here and there. So then he told me, in order to look like you're actually paying attention and getting some of the conversation, you only have to learn 3 or 4 key words and 1 phrase. Then if you can keep a straight face, at least for a while, you get away with it. Go ahead, he said. It's fun. When everybody speaks Spanish but you, don't sit there with your thumb up your ass. Make a game out of it. And when it's your turn to say something or there's a pregnant pause, just say the word claro, C-L-A-R-O, which is a great neutral response to pretty much anything someone says to you. Then, you know, expat Eddie says you can't just use claro all the time. You got to mix in a few other words, like, for example, entiendo. That's entiendo, which sounds very much like the game Nintendo, but it's actually entiendo, which means I understand, I get it. And the third Latin filler word that works like a charm in a conversation when you don't know what the hell they're talking about is the word verdad. That's verdad, V-E-R-D-A-D, which basically means affirmative in English, or that's right. Or, just like the previous word, entiendo, means I get it. So, mixing those 4 words up here and there will keep you from looking like a dummy, if that's your intent. Then, Eddie says, after you got those 4 words down, you can learn this 1 little phrase, and that's it. Then you've got your whole Spanish imposter skill set down. And that little phrase is por supuesto. P-O-R-S-U-P-U-E-S-T-O. Por supuesto. And note that it's two words, por supuesto, which means in English, of course. Now, if you slip in a few por supuestos in the conversation, you're not only agreeing with what they say, whatever that is, but you're in complete sympathy with them. A kind of a verbal pat on the back. So it's a compliment and a bonding thing. That is, as long as you say it with sincerity. Now, at first I thought Eddie was joking or screwing around with me. But you know, he was right. Learning that stuff's not a bad idea at all, because as you start picking up little bits of Spanish, you'll often get lost as soon as the next sentence comes by. So, you can inject a word or two like that, stopping the conversation for a moment, to let your mind regroup and process what was just said before the next line comes. Which is great, because your number one complaint's going to be that Latin folks talk way too fast. So, the key is, if your Spanish really sucks, is to act interested, throw in a few claros or verdades or entiendos or por supuestos, and soon enough, if you're not too big of a mula, you'll catch on. Oh, and by the way, when it comes to that terrible A word that I hate, awesome, did you know that Latins now have their own word for it? It had to come here, right? I mean, how long's the A word been around? 5, 10 years? And I'm talking about the word increíble. That's increíble. Incredible in English, of course. Latins have been beating that word to death for the last 6 months to a year. Everything these days is increíble. You wouldn't believe it. And because increíble is no longer incredible enough, they've come up with super increíble. Now, you might look at it this way. The number of times a person says increíble in a conversation is inversely proportional to their IQ. Just like people up in the States who beat that A word to death. In fact, just the other day on a Good Morning Latin American show, you know, they copy that too, they have them on every station, one of the inane but very sexy hosts used that word increíble a total of 8 times in a short 5-minute segment. So anyway, that's where we're at with Latin American filler words on the street and in the media. Now do remember, if you're off the gringo tourist trail, like I recommend for everyone these days, you really are eventually going to have to learn some Spanish. Now, you're a gringo, so even if your Spanish really sucks, soon enough you'll be way too popular because every Latin will want to be your friend. Off the tourist trail, having a gringo buddy or friend constitutes bragging rights for any Latin. But you knew that already, right? Now, before we get off the subject of Latin filler words, Eddie will freely admit that's how he kept the conversation going when he first met his girlfriend-to-be. The way the story goes, he was at a big free event, a concert in San Salvador with the band Maná. Now, I'm sure you don't know this, but the band Maná, M-A-N-A, was kind of what you might call the first Latin rock supergroup. Now, that ain't saying much, because Latin rock and Latin heavy metal, etc., really sucks. Again, it's just pretty much a carbon copy of everything that's ever been done in rock and roll up in the first world, only it's in Spanish, of course. With about a 10 or 20 year lag time. But you knew that already, right? Anyway, for the uncritical, uninformed, and uninitiated down here, the band Maná is considered somewhat akin to the Latin version of the Beatles. Which, of course, is blasphemy to anyone up from the first world. But you can't fight popular opinion. It is what it is, and the band Maná in the 80s and 90s just happened to be the first Latin rock group to sell 1 million records. Anyway, some years back, expat Eddie was at a big stadium concert in San Salvador, and at this concert event, there were about 5 beautiful girls, models, dressed in white tuxedos, top hats, and canes and tails, Johnny Walker girls, dressed just like Johnny Walker on the whiskey label. They were giving away tiny free samples in the VIP VIP section. And I might add that Eddie was pretty much the only gringo there, he said. Which I'm quite sure is true. Anyway, Eddie said he kept trying to make conversation with one of these beautiful Johnny Walker girls, and though his Spanish really sucked, every time she came around and offered him a little sample of Johnny Walker, he'd say, "Ah, Jack Daniels? Muchas gracias." And she'd say, "No, no, señor, Johnny Walker, Johnny Walker." And of course, she caught on and always smiled. So later, He caught up with her during one of her breaks and started in with that Latin filler word bit with the claros and the verdades and the entiendos and the por supuestos. But no, not increíble, because that word wasn't popular yet. Anyway, Eddie said, believe it or not, he was able to get her phone number and kind of set up a little date with her the very next day. And the whole while, she really did think he knew Spanish, that he understood everything they were talking about at the concert the night before. But on their first date, she caught on. That said, Eddie says all it took was patience, persistence, 5 Spanish filler words, and the gringo advantage. All right, let's take an email now. This is from Brent. Dear Johnny, I've only been on what you call the gringo tourist trail in Mexico, of all places. I know you don't agree with that. But do tell me, what's up with all those giant-sized marble statues and bronze figures all over the place? Seems like everywhere you go, there's a dozen big bronze monuments, usually heads, and the odd giant statue of a guy riding a horse. I know every culture has its heroes and its historic figures and such, but I didn't recognize any of these guys. Except some of these guys I know were popes. They have a thing for popes in Latin America, don't they? Can't mistake the funny hats. I mean, come on, what's up with those gigantic expensive monuments to those Spanish conquistador dudes and stuff? I mean, come on, they must cost a fortune. I mean, really, what are those Mexican and Latin governments doing spending money on that crap? What with all those millions of potholes and the dirty tap water that runs only 12 hours a day? What's wrong with these people? It seems so obvious, but they don't get it. So, adios from Mexico, Johnny. Keep up the good work. Brent. Well, thanks for that, Brent. Welcome to the wonders of Latin America. Yeah, and I have to admit, you go to any Latin American city, take a nice long walk through any one of their parks, and there's a million of them. If you're paying attention, that's where you're going to see the most outrageous bronze and stone pretentious statues that you've ever seen in your life. And it's kind of a sick joke, really. Yep, if you're paying attention, you'll see a whole rogues gallery of famous conquistadores and genocidal dictators. Remember, these guys they honor are the ones that looted the country. They killed or enslaved most of the indigenous people and stole all their land, and the modern ones, like Chavez, were even worse. And note the peculiar things about these statues. The ones that are life-size always seem to have a head vastly out of proportion to the rest of the body. Latin sculptors always seem to give these guys hydrocephalic heads. Maybe it's an inside joke. The question is, why don't you see that big-headed effect in other cultures, only in Latin America? Now, there's a great master's thesis. Grad students everywhere, first world and third world, are always looking for new and different social topics to dissect. Go ahead and run with it. I'm sure no one's touched that one yet.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.